Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians and chapter 8, and we'll plan on reading the whole chapter together. So 1 Corinthians and chapter 8, and we will see Paul begin to discuss Christian liberty. And Paul will discuss Christian liberty in some detail from chapters 8 until chapter 11 and verse 1. So here is 1 Corinthians in chapter 8. And the Apostle Paul says, with the Holy Spirit, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet, as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now, it as a thing offered to an idol, and their consciousness being weak is defiled. But food does not commit us to God. But for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who has knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened and eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. And so we do see Paul here beginning his discourse on Christian liberty. And brethren, you know this, that Christians, we are free in respect to anything that's not explicitly forbidden in the Bible. We are free. That's Christian liberty. These are things that we are free to participate in so long as it is a sinful. And of course, as Paul says, doesn't cause another person to stumble. And that can be a lot of things. Typically, it's the social do's and don'ts, right? So you can probably think of a lot of these things. Clothes is a major example. So we know the Christian principle, right? You are to be modest. Modesty is paramount. But then you have to start thinking about, well, you know, what constitutes modesty? And what's that look like? And how do you think through that? You know, things like makeup, social drinking, recreational gambling, dancing, movies, tattoos, piercings, and the list just goes on and on and on. I mean, you can just talk about all these, you know, kind of these social do's and don'ts, you know, all night, I suppose. There's just so many different scenarios and so many different things you can think about. And you know what? It gets complicated, doesn't it? It really does. Sometimes it gets complicated. And, sometimes things aren't completely black and white. And, you know, sometimes there's an overreaction and then maybe an underreaction to different things. So when you think about Christian liberty, certainly there are people who take Christian liberty way too far, right? And so anything they love and they like it, well, that's Christian liberty. And, you know, and they're going to just fiercely defend their position. Even if you show them scripture, they're just going to keep running with it. No, I'm definitely free to do that. And again, we are free to do things that are not forbidden in Scripture, but we're also called not to cause another person to stumble. And you know, we saw, I think, in verse 8, the second half of verse 8 especially, we saw kind of the principle of that. Paul says, neither if we eat are we better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. So it's just, there's certain activities that we can participate in, and they're neither explicitly sinful, they're not really causing spiritual growth, they're not causing spiritual hindrance either. And that's the kind of thing that Paul talks about. It doesn't really matter. It's not causing harm or anything like that. But again, if you have a person who is just fiercely anchored to their liberty and you can't talk about that, that can be an issue. And sometimes you can even point out Bible verses that contradict their position and they'll still plant their feet. I just think of one example, and it's just kind of on my mind today, so I thought I'd point it out. And one of those examples is the prom, right? So, you know, you got some high school kids and they go to the prom. Well, fine. So you're going to go dance. Okay. So we talked about that, do's and don'ts on social, and people kind of wrestling through that dancing. So we got that. And then the clothing, and that's sometimes I'm just like, I can't believe that I'm seeing on Facebook this father that I thought would be a solid man letting his daughter out of the house dressed like that. That is just that's just unbelievable. And it's just one of those things when you think about people, if you say anything to them, they would just cite Christian liberty. And Christian liberty doesn't cover everything that, you know, you just want to do. There are principles of modesty, for example, that you have to consider. But they might say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about prom, and the Bible doesn't say anything about this particular dress. Well, very well, good, brother, but the Bible does talk about modesty. That's just one example as you think through these things. So, point of that is, there are those who take Christian liberty too far. Anything they love, they defend chiefly. They're just going to keep defending it. And that's obviously not a balanced position. And the second, I guess, kind of the other end of that spectrum, right, is that person who just tends to legalism, right? So they're on the opposite end of the spectrum. So, you know, some people get drunk, so you should never drink. And what about root beer? I mean, it's got beer in the title, so, you know, you might want to watch out for that root beer. And you know, some people gamble with their cards, and so you shouldn't play hearts or spades, you know, or any card game. Because after all, I mean, if somebody sees you playing cards, they might get the wrong impression that you're one of those gambling types, and you don't want to do that. So you've got, now we're just making up all kinds of silly rules, and that's obviously, you know, legalism, and that is also, it's a great error. And there are a lot of people who are making that great error. And in a lot of ways, it looks like the error of the Pharisees, right? So you're building fences around principles and fences around the principles of the principles. And now you're just in legalism land. And you know, Paul doesn't defend that either. And so we just want to acknowledge that there are things that are, they're complicated. And you have to think through them. And you have to think beyond, do I see prom in the Bible, or do I see this in the, you have to think through principles of the thing and think through those deeply. And, you know, the issue that Paul's dealing with here, I mean, this is obviously not something we're going to face very often in our own nation or our own land. It is dealing with food that's been dedicated to idols. And, you know, that was a really big deal for these new Christians in Corinth, and this is just a reality of life, because in the Greek and Roman world, there was polytheistic, right? And not only was it polytheistic, but you could also say it's polydemonism, right? So they believed in multiple evil spirits, and so they wanted to protect themselves from these evil spirits. So they believed that the evil spirits could enter the body through food. And the way to protect yourself to that is to sacrifice this, especially with meat. Give that food over to an idol, and the idol would then remove the curse, the bad spirits from the food that was being sacrificed. And, you know, then that sacrificed food would it'd be free from demons now, and you could eat that food and no problem. And, you know, some of that meat would go to a pagan festival, and then some of that meat would then go back into, you know, the market to be sold to other people. And you could just imagine, right? This seems foreign to us, but you can imagine, right? If you're a new Christian, you come from a pagan background, and you found out that the food at the dinner table was sacrificed to an idol, and now we've got something that's causing a kick in our conscience, it's causing an issue with our mind, and And it could be a stumbling block to a new believer who thinks, this reminds me of what I came from. And every time I eat this meat now, I'm thinking about the idol that it was sacrificed to. And it just causes all kinds of issues in the mind, and even might make them think of demon worship and idol worship and things of that nature. And that's what Paul is speaking about. And so he talks about knowledge and love. And you note that in our first verses here, knowledge and love. And of course, they knew that there's only one God. There's only one God. These idols are nothing. They're just little statues made by human hands. They're nothing. The only power they have is the power the mind gives them, the value the mind gives them. There's no power in and of those little, statues made by human hands. But, not everybody is completely grasping that, I think, is the issue. And so, you have also that love edifies. Love edifies. And so the principle is, if another person is struggling and this is just meat, and the idol it was sacrificed to, it's nothing, and there's no power to that. All we're doing is just eating meat. Well, I think the principle here is that the loving thing to do is, the loving way to think is, don't use your knowledge in such a way that it can cause another person to stumble. Love edifies, love builds up, so you don't want somebody to stumble and fall because you're serving meat. And so in that way, we are to think humbly. That's the overriding principle here. It's good to know things. It's good to know that this meat is not in and of itself sinful. But we want to have this edifying love that builds up other people as well. So, if you love God, then you also love the people of God. You love your brother, and you don't want to cause them to stumble. And we also see Paul speaking about the powerlessness again, of the powerlessness of idols. Verse 4 again, therefore concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other God but one. Paul mentions, hey, these are just, it's just meat, and those are just idols, and they are nothing. So the meat is good. Verse 6, there's one God, and we see here the equality of God the Father and God the Son. And then we see, I guess, kind of third major heading here is, looking out for the well-being of the weaker brother. And, we want to protect people. We want to protect our brothers and sisters. We don't want to scandalize them or bruise their conscience or cause them to have fear or shame that they're committing idolatry. And so we want to protect that conscience of that weaker brother who's still kind of thinking through these things and working through these things. And I would encourage you to stick up for your weaker brother, right? If you have somebody who's really struggling, for example, with the past, this is such an easy one to mention, the past with alcohol, obviously, this is just so simple, you don't want to put that before them. How simple is that? It's very simple. But you can probably think of other examples as well, kinds of forms of worldliness. And some folks, music's a big deal. Music's not a big deal to me. Whatever. But for some people, that was a big part of their life when they were a teenager. And so they hear, for example, I grew up in the 90s, right? Sort of my time of up and coming. Hearing 90s music is just funny to me. That's all it is. It's just silly. That's all it is. It's just funny and silly. But for some folks, it's going to remind them maybe of something sinful they did or bad. It's just an example. So you just have to think through, and what am I doing? Is it causing somebody to stumble and to fall? You just want to be wise with those things. So don't put up stumbling blocks that people will trip on. Secondly, we love the people of God, so we never want to entangle them with something that would cause guilt or shame or somehow wound their conscience. We want to do things that would edify and build up. And in verse 10, we see Paul asking a question. If a brother sees you go into a meat market and you're eating meat dedicated to an idol and that caused them to stumble, that's a problem. We want to avoid that. We don't want to sear their conscience. And speaking of, be thankful. When you think about sticking up for the weaker brother, be thankful they have an awakened conscience. So many people don't care about anything, and there is just no shame. And so at least you have somebody who's thinking through these things and working through these things. I guess the third kind of big principle with this is promote their growth and not their ruin. Promote their growth and not their ruin. Also, we sin if we cause a brother to stumble. That's exactly what we see, in verse 12. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound the weak conscience, you sin against Christ. So we want to do things in such a way, that builds people up. And when we fail to do so, we actually sin against our Lord. And I guess fifth here, it's better to deny our liberties than it is to cause somebody else to stumble. And I think that's a good word, especially for somebody who's, remember how we talked about those two extremes, the person who just denies that anyone can speak into his life, everything's Christian liberty. That person needs to think about, the fact that, if you bruise somebody's conscience, that's a sinful act on your part. And that we are to, deny our liberty because we love the brethren. So therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I'll never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. That's the attitude of the Apostle Paul. And so we want to be, very careful with people. And you have this great gospel verse in verse 11. I want to mention that. And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? And probably a better word for perish would be, as the NASB says, ruin. Ruin your brother for whom Christ died. So you can take somebody down the path, and it looks innocent at first, but it leads them down a road that leads them to much sin and much trouble and hardship and pain. And so we'll be careful with that. Since Christ died for us, He purchased us by His own blood. We don't want to cause anyone to stumble. All right, brethren. Well, that's kind of a summation of 1 Corinthians 8, and I hope it helps us kind of think through that issue of Christian liberty. And so, Father, as we prepare to go and to pray together tonight, we would certainly pray and ask for your blessings on our time together. Help us, Lord, to be reminded that when we gather together and we pray, that it's an act of spiritual warfare. It is a vital ministry. We are called to make intercession. We are called to make intercession for those who are still lost, to make intercession for our leaders of our nation, for our own country, for our families. So help us, Lord, we pray, to come with this mind that this is a vital time of ministry and very, very important. And so help us, Lord, to boldly approach the throne of grace as the people of God, and pray that we do so with great joy, because we know that we have a God who hears and answers prayer. And we ask these things in Christ's name.